On this podcast, we discuss medical diagnoses and procedures. All of the guests express their own opinions. You should always seek medical advice from a trained and credentialed professional when making decisions about your own health. Welcome to the Sleep Apnea Stories podcast. I'm Emma Cooksey, and I've been coping with sleep apnea since childhood. I didn't know anyone in my life with a sleep disorder, so I decided to start this podcast. I'm here to build community and provide a platform for people with sleep apnea to tell their stories. Together, we can shatter stereotypes and raise awareness. We'll be exploring all sorts of treatment options and lifestyle choices to help you live your best life with sleep apnea. This is Sleep Apnea Stories, and I'm so glad you're here. Hey there, it's Emma Cooksey here, and I'm your host. So I think I confused some of you because this episode is part two of a two-part conversation I had with Kath Hope, who is the founder and CEO at Hope to Sleep, which is a great UK charity. And so I put the full conversation on YouTube, so you can see the whole long conversation there. But I split it into two for the sake of length on the podcast. So today is the same guest as last week, Kath Hope, but it's the second part of our conversation. So I really enjoyed this part because we talked all about how Kath came to set up her charity, Hope to Sleep. So what I loved was in this part of the conversation, we really discussed how things are different in the UK. So we talked about some of the treatment options that are available there that aren't as readily available here, particularly a thing called Zeus, which I've read about, but is still not available here in the United States. So we talked a lot about, you know, the way that sleep apnea is managed in the UK, the pros and the cons. So, oh, and we talked about how much we love Vic Veer, the ENT surgeon and YouTube phenomenon. So that was kind of fun. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kath Hope. I think we just jump right back into the conversation. Went in with this mindset, I'm going to make this work no matter what. Yes. And you didn't want to turn out like your mom and all of that. But like, how did you feel when you actually got the CPAP, like the first kind of week?
I got the CPAP machine, and you know, it says in the box, I put it on my face and I went to sleep and I lived happily ever after, except it wasn't true. So of course the masks weren't made for my type of face in the, in them days, the headgear, and you probably remember this, Emma.
Yeah.
The headgear, I remember one of them, it went trying to keep the mask on my face. Much better now. Much better now. But I had one problem after another, and I would chuck the mask. And I'm not a big swearer. I don't swear a lot. I have to be very angry to swear. But believe me, I was very angry in the middle of the night when I could not get the mask to seal, and I've threw them across the bedroom temper, and then I'd grab another one and I'd try that, because the hospital were great. They gave me loads of masks.
That's good.
But none of them were working.
No.
You know, so, and like you say, I got loads of help from my friends, you know, across the pond, mainly in the USA it was. I read lots of resources, and I needed some comfort products. And this is what, you know, it was. I used to cut up T-shirts to put a liner on my mask.
Yes.
I got the, because I used to wake up with bruises under here.
My face
was all matte. I looked like I'd been in the boxing ring, not bed. You know, because I really had to tighten these masks so bad, but it literally bruised my face.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we learned about the strap covers we could have. Then, of course, I'd get my mask sorted, and then I'd get poured with rain in the middle of the night, you know, for the humidifier, and you name it. I had a problem.
Yeah.
I paid a lot of money because you have to pay duty and all that, and I got the things from the USA. But the clinic were amazed because they'd never seen anything like this before. So they said, you know, next time you buy, will you buy extras? And we'll send people to your house to buy them off you.
Yeah.
Well, I like things like that. So I set up an eBay store. literally to help people. I wasn't making money on anything. I literally, whatever it costs to get them, including the duty and you name it, I'd put them on eBay. But a little bit extra because I had a little pot. So every time I sold things, I would build up so I could buy more. And this is how it went on. But what flabbergasted me was the hospital used to send patients, they'd knock at my door, sometimes in the middle of people's piano lessons. So in the end, I had to say, can you get them to make an appointment to come?
Right.
But it wasn't just that. It wasn't, they didn't just want that little strap cover that maybe cost them £5. They wanted to talk.
Yeah.
And it was the same on eBay.
People so had would... you, so at that point, you hadn't even started a charity?
No.
You were just like,
That's
hilarious.
I know. This was Cath Herb, little old Cath Herb.
Yeah.
And I was just doing that to try and help people, which is my nature. I mean, you don't start a charity if you're not that kind of person.
Right.
So it was almost like an unofficial charity.
Yeah.
And this was 2009, by the way. I remember that day. That date, I mean, when I started doing this.
Yes.
And the trouble is, you see, it wasn't just an eBay sale. I always go the extra mile, so I'd say, I hope you found the order help, you know, what you've bought helps you. And that's when they'd realise I had sleep apnea too. So then, you know, all these messages through eBay, and that was when I realised the need. It wasn't just the comfort products. It was people
the connection.
Absolutely, yeah. And so this is how it started. So I thought, right, what I'll do is I'll in my head, I always wanted a charity, but I couldn't really do that from the beginning. I used my name, Hope, Cath Hope. So we used Hope to Sleep.
Yeah.
And that's where the name came from. So I set up this Hope to Sleep as just a little, I say business, but it was an unofficial non-profit business, because every time we sold anything,
you just put it back into buying more stuff for
back
people.
Into buy more stuff,
plus
yeah.
all your time of talking to people.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's right. Tried to teach 85 pupils. So this was back in 2009, and I went to the bank because I thought, we need to get this going better. And I didn't have spare money myself, so I went to the bank and I thought, the bank will give me a loan. And, you know, if they give me a loan, I'll be able to get a lot more of these products and help a lot more people quicker. And so the bank, I can remember him now. He looked at me and I know what he thought. Silly woman. What the heck is she talking about? This sleep apnea. He humoured me. He gave me £1,000. That is all I could get. Well, £1,000 don't buy that much, but it was a little start.
But it was something.
It was a little start. Yeah. So I bought more products and I added cleaning wipes, because the wipes, I still use the Beaumont ones, the citrus ones. They are quite expensive, but they're brilliant for cleaning off the oils from the cushion, because I can't be doing my mask every day and soaking in water.
Same.
I need to, yeah, that's right. I do that once a week, but the other days, wipe on the mask. So I started bringing that in as well, and people were saying, what a difference, because they weren't having all the leaks that we get in from, even with their detergent. I know it's with different sides of the pond, so here it's like fairy is a fabulous product for your pots, but it's not so good for the mask, because it leaves a residue behind.
Yes.
So it looks beautiful and shiny, does your mask cushion, but it's because the residue has clung to it, and that means mask leaks.
Right.
So I added them, and then it moved on to the hose lift, but all the time, you know, it was draining me, because there was more and more people building up.
Yeah.
And
you're already overdoing it with your piano lessons and your music.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And going into the schools, I taught in the schools as well. So what I did was, I thought, well, the dream is the charity. My heart does rule my head a little bit. You know, sometimes I make mistakes that are not quite so good. Because what I did was, as pupils left, because when you've got music pupils, you've got them for about 10 years when you're taking them through all the exams. So, you know, it's a commitment, and I would never, never have stopped teaching them in the middle, you know. So what would happen is when they went off to university or music college or what, I didn't replace them.
Got it.
But of course, then we were struggling even more because the money was down as well. Yeah, so, but that's what I said.
What was your husband saying?
Well, he's supportive because I'm very convincing, you know. Yeah, so really, Hope to Sleep was an unofficial charity because I never really had the time, the time to get it sorted. And, you know, people had joined me. And I remember it was a friend who we got her husband diagnosed because his blood pressure wasn't, they couldn't sort his blood pressure out. Turns out, the usual story, he was living with untreated sleep apnea, got diagnosed, blood pressure sorted. So Carol helped me and she said, Kath, you can't go on. It was breaking me. I on my own, was supported about by then 5,000 people, which to one person is quite a lot.
That's too much.
Yeah, and also the orders. And like my husband's fabulous, he worked for the trains, so he worked shifts. If he was on an early shift, then it meant he got back about an hour and a half, just gave him time to do the orders because there's no way I could teach, do orders and support. And so Carol said, enough's enough. I'm going to help you get started as a charity. Good. Thank goodness she did.
I love Carol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Haven't met her. Yeah. Don't know anything about her, but that was a really good
one. I love Carol too, yeah, because it saved me. Because by then, you know, I was being well treated for my sleep apnea, and then I was getting exhaustion for trying to help people with sleep apnea.
Doing way too much, yeah.
Remember, this went on from 2009 to 2016. I struggled all that time. And then in 2016, we became an official charity. And it was because people used to want to donate to Hope to Sleep.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't take the money because I wasn't officially a charity.
Right.
So I would send them to other charities, say, give you money, you know, there. The British Lung Foundation or SATA, that was a charity here. And so I'd do all the work and tell them to go elsewhere with the money. But that's not the case now, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, we're an official charity. And the story is that we are now, on our last count, we're supporting 22 to 23,000 people now.
That's amazing, Kat.
A team, not just me.
Right.
You know, we've got Natalie and Sue in there, John in there. You know, I'm at the charity now.
Yeah.
And we've got all the trustees, and we've got our super chairman, Samantha Backway. You'll have seen her in our group,
yes.
Because you're in our group.
Yeah.
And she runs a very busy sleep clinic herself, and she's chairman of our charity. No, where could I do what I'm doing today without the backing of that team?
Yeah.
And the team who says, Kath, you need to rest a bit. Because
right.
I do need
and I'm on that team. I would like to be a member of that team.
So that is the story. So what Hope to Sleep do as a charity is that our priority is always support. Helping people get diagnosed, you know, people who come to us and I think I might have sleep apnea or my GP won't refer me, and, you know, and we're helping people with the CPAP therapy. So that is the, you know, big part of our work. The other part is raising awareness.
Yeah, I see you all over at the moment, going to different health fairs and, out into the community.
Yeah, and we go out into supermarkets. COVID stopped a lot of it, but things are getting better now.
Yes.
We go into supermarkets and we set a stand up and we put a big sign up, do you snore? I think it's behind me. It's the other one. It's got all the signs and symptoms of sleep apnea could be. And we're at the charity now. I'm at the charity now, and we have high street presence. So people walking past see the signs, they come in. I've just read your signs.
That's great.
That's, Yeah, so people get diagnosed just by walking past the charity.
Yeah.
We needed the premises because the charity, before it was charity, well, no, even for the first year of a charity, it was literally taking over our house.
I bet.
Products were everywhere. So we needed a place to dispatch the orders. So this is what we do is that so the two biggest things, as I've said, is raising awareness,
Yes.
supporting patients. But what we do is we sell products which are just comfort products.
Yeah, so they
We
all
do
the things that you talked about before,
think hose covers,
hose covers, like the
strap
strap
cover,
covers is what I'm trying to think of.
mask liners,
Yeah.
cream. But we do sell masks as well,
Yeah.
and we sell
It's great that
machines.
you have them all in the one place accessible for people because I think sometimes, people ask me about these things. We have a ton of different places people can get these, but it's
John, he did retire early from the railway. He already did the job from home anyway, unpaid for years.
yes.
So he joined when he retired. He took early retirement, and when he did that, he's the main. I mean, there's a whole team of them, but he's
Yeah.
sort of in charge of the
The
dispatching the
orders
orders.
and
Yeah,
all of
that's
that.
right. And what we do is the orders is what fu you know funds the
Yeah,
charity,
that's great.
and we get a lot of donations. We obviously go for funding as well,
Yeah.
charitable funding. But the good thing for us is that we don't solely rely on that. If we did, we might not be here because during COVID, there wasn't as much funding around for those 2 years unless
Yeah.
it was specific to COVID.
Yeah.
So it's almost like we're selling the products that help the patients, and that is the only thing our charity ever charges for. It's
Yeah.
literally for, we do sleep studies as well with the consultant.
Yeah.
So we do sleep studies, a battery rental service, and the products, which is what funds the charity, pays for the
Yeah,
premises that
keeps
we're
the
in.
lights on.
Absolutely, so we can, support ourselves, and that's why a lot of people want to buy from us because they know they're buying from us to
Yes.
keep us running.
Yeah.
So it actually works really good, and obviously we take in donations as well. People might say, "Look, I got this mask, but it's no good, and I can't send it back. Can I send it to you? We'll clean it up. If anyone's struggling, we'll
Perfect.
give."
Yes.
We donate, we don't just sell, we donate as
Yes.
well, so and it works, and we go for funding, sometimes people can't afford a sleep study, so we go for funding for that,
Yes.
and then we might get funding for 20 sleep studies, say,
Yeah.
and so when the need
It's
arises,
great.
we'll use that. So it actually really works great, but it also means that we can help practically, even with the sleep clinics, because they might have a patient who they've tried everything with. The patient really wants to be compliant with the
Yes.
CPAP, but they've run out of ideas,
Yeah.
so they might just give us a call. So the clinics will ring up, and it'll just be, I say, oh. All they need is a mask liner, that'll sort that, and it's just something
I know.
so simple,
I often like when I talk to doctors, that's one thing that I often talk about is this. I think sometimes people are looking at compliance data in a big, chart, and they're like, oh, why is the compliance so low? But when you spend a lot of time talking to patients, a lot of the people I talk to absolutely want to do well with CPAP. They just have a problem that they found, like they can't find a solution to, and it's
Absolutely.
insurmountable to them. But then when they get a solution to it, like they're delighted to be as compliant as possible. Of course, there's going to be patients that don't want to use CPAP, right? But I think for a lot of people, it's more overcoming some of these smaller issues that can
Yes,
become
that's right.
so annoying. If you have mask irritation, you're getting leaks all the time and you just can't figure out the leaks, that can be enough just to make people give up. So that's great. I love all that you're doing.
Going back to what, when we was talking about how did I cope?
Yeah.
As I said to you, I was not disturbed during sleep, even though I had severe sleep apnea. I slept through. All of a sudden, I've got a CPAP machine and a mask, and I'm waking up every hour, if not more.
Yeah.
So I was then getting disturbed sleep trying to treat her.
Yeah.
And this is why, as if patients can in can find us quicker, which a lot of the sleep clinics give our leaflets out when they give them the
Which
CPAP
is
machine, so
great,
we
yeah.
can find them. Because if we can get those people immediately the diagnose, we
Yes.
can help them straight away with any of the little hiccups. The majority of people who use CPAP, and I'm not saying about the, there's other ways to treat, we know that.
Yep.
The reason why CPAP is really used first and foremost is because no matter what the cause of the sleep apnea is, whether it be the receding jaw or whatever, or position even,
Yep.
that will treat it. But some of the other things, like I mentioned, the
And also
migraine.
it treats it tonight. Like
Yeah, exactly.
that's sometimes the thing that when I talk to people who are looking at kind of longer term, like maybe they want to do a surgery or, there are lots of different ways to treat sleep apnea, but my thing is always like, what are you doing like right now?
Exactly. Yeah. It's
For whatever it has
it's
to
like
be,
get them on. Some people it can be caused through being overweight. So, without the weight, they genuinely don't have sleep apnea. So they'll say, well, maybe if I try to lose weight first, yeah, but you'll have a job to lose weight with untreated sleep apnea. Get them onto the CPAP, they'll suddenly start to sleep. All of a sudden, the diets they tried before that never worked suddenly work because they're able to sleep. They're getting good sleep.
Are you a new or struggling CPAP user? Are you waking up and flinging your CPAP mask across the room in frustration? Maybe you have mask leaks, skin irritation, or wake up with a dry mouth. You might be dealing with uncomfortable trapped gas from swallowing air or hair breakage from your headgear. If any of this sounds familiar, you're not alone, and I wrote a workbook just for you. The 6-week CPAP Solutions Workbook is out now and has been designed to give you solutions to all the most common CPAP problems. Visit sleepapneastories.com to order now. That's sleepapneastories.com. The more doctors I talk to, the more it's really that way around of find a treatment that works, and then whatever diet and lifestyle things you're trying to do are going to go so much better.
That's right. Exactly. And the thing is, as well, like the NHS, we get treated by the NHS. The NHS can give CPAP. They don't have the resources to find out the exact reason why that person has sleep apnea, as to whether a mandibular device might work, or
Well,
as
it's
to whether.
partly resources, but we absolutely have that in the United States as well. I mean,
Really?
people aren't being offered, there's drug-induced sleep endoscopies and
Yes. Yeah. I've had one of those.
CBCT scans and all different tools that people can use to figure out what's going on, but they're used in a pretty narrow way where, like, if you're going to an ENT and they're considering a surgery anyway, like they might do a drug-induced sleep endoscopy as part of that. But like, I'm not coming across people all the time that are having all these diagnostic tests. So yeah, it
That's right.
tends to be like try it and see, which can be really frustrating and expensive for patients.
And the thing is, as well, like we sell the Excite OSA, we sell the Zeus, which you can't have in the USA
No, we don't
yet.
have it.
No, you
I
can't have
saw
that.
Vic's video about it, but that's all I know.
It, hopefully you will eventually. The Zeus is at the moment for snoring, but tests are going on right now, research which we're part of, as to how well it will treat sleep apnea, which we fully expect it will. In the USA, apparently snoring is a medical condition. in the UK, snoring isn't a medical condition.
Right.
So
So
they're
the
not,
FDA process to
oh,
have that
yeah, they
approved
won't allow
is
it. Yeah,
different.
they won't allow it, do you see? But once it's proven, which we expect it to be, you know, watch this space, obviously, because we will be talking about it when the trials are over. They're going on right now in the NHS, in one of the hospitals. Then the Zoot will be able to come your way as well. But so we have like the night shift as well for if it's positional, because some people, you know, they don't even know whether it was only on the back. So the, you know, the idea is get on your CPAP, get treated. You can start thinking better once you've been treated. Then if you do want to look to see, if you look on our YouTube channel, you will see about the Zeus, Zeus, and you see us talking with Professor Steyer, who is one of the medical advisors of our charity and my own sleep consultant. And you will see the manufacturer of the Zeus as well. And we talk in that webinar where we actually talk about combination therapy. Sometimes people are trying their best with CPAP, they'll never be comfortable with it. Let's try and help them. But it takes time, Emma. And like you just said, at least with the CPAP, it's treating them while they're looking. So what people do who can afford it, because like I said, we don't have we don't usually have medical insurance over here for sleep apnea. It's they might do it, they might sometimes pay for the sleep study, but they won't pay for anything else.
It's
So
out of
it's
pocket if people want to try things.
absolutely, yeah. So they might buy the Excite OSA and they might use it and they'll use it and then they'll have a repeat sleep study. And then we'll be able to say, that's good. Things have improved. You've still got sleep apnea, but you've dropped now into the mild criteria from moderate, say. And then someone else will use the Excite OSA and say, sorry, it's made no difference. Because not everything will work for everybody. It depends on the cause of the and then you'll get people who might pay and have a mandibular device made by a dentist. And again, the same story. You know, there are
That's what you're probably exactly the same as me. I feel like you're one of the few people that gets this, right? My email inbox and my DMs on Instagram are like, oh my word, I'm so glad I got my diagnosis. I love my CPAP. Everything's great. Next person, I hate my CPAP. It's awful. And then the same for every single treatment option you have. It just really
absolutely.
depends on the person.
And I think the other thing is the person, it's great when we get mostly good stories once people use it and feel better. But you get those, I absolutely hate it. Don't get us wrong. If me or you, Emma, could manage to 100% treat our sleep apnea, you know, if there was another way where it would treat us and we didn't have to use the mask, we wouldn't. But we accept it, and at least we only put the mask on for bed, don't we? For sleep, I should say, not even for bed, for sleep. You know, so people will say with the mandibular devices, this is a big problem I've got, is that sometimes the snoring stops and people assume the sleep apnea has as well.
But you
And that
need a
is not
follow-up
always
sleep
the case.
study is the
There's
thing.
follow-up sleep study, which, you know,
Vital.
even the NHS don't always do that because they can't afford it, you know. And so these people, and we've had it, they'll go and they'll pay, you know, £1,000 or more for, you know, to have the mandibular device made. And we'll say, oh, that's improved things. But not me personally, the consultant will look at it. It's not me saying that. And the consultant will, you know, compare the last sleep study and they'll say, well, yeah, actually, just have a word with your dentist and see if they can do some adjustment because it looks like it's improving. Some snoring's still coming through. And so they'll have an adjustment to the mandibular and then they'll come back and say, yeah, that's great. That's brought you right down. Or sometimes it's not the right treatment on its own. You know, so sometimes you'll work with someone and they've managed to, with a mandibular device, they've managed to get from, say, severe to moderate. Mm-hmm. But then we found, hang on, there's a lot of apneas going on your back, so let's try with the night shift as well.
Yes, with combining with positional therapy. And
absolutely. Yeah.
I just added an oral appliance to, like, so I wear an oral appliance and a CPAP.
Yes, and a CPAP. Yeah.
And so for me, like, I have severe sleep apnea and mine got significantly worse when I started perimenopause and I gained some weight and my hormones were all over the place. So my doctor was like, let's increase your pressure with the CPAP to make sure it's treated. Yeah. And so for me, and this is not everybody, but for me, I found I was getting more mask leaks. I'd had CPAP for 15 years at this point or whatever. So just the increased pressure, like for me, just wasn't as comfortable. And I was kind of like waking up more. So I'd been reading more about, I've been interviewing people who had tried doing an oral appliance and a CPAP together. And I'd been reading about that a little bit. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to try it. And for me, like, it's not the same for every person, but for me, what I found was it's helped because I had another sleep study and I was during the sleep study wearing the oral appliance and the CPAP. And they were able to titrate it so that it was correct for, you know, like wearing the oral appliance. So I was able to reduce the pressure and that's really helped me a lot. So I think that it's often this combination where
this is so important that you've just mentioned that, Emma, because we're not twins in everything, because I also always had high pressures.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, run up to maximum if I was on APAP, they had to change me to CPAP, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my sleep consultant at the time sent me via the NHS to have a mandibular device made specifically for me. So I was real excited.
To do with CPAP?
With the CPAP.
Yeah.
So I had this made and I was dying to see my results. So we left it back on CPAP to see the difference in what the mandibular would do for me. It never did a thing. It never did a thing, Emma. And even worse, I'm unlucky, even worse, I ended up with a dental cyst. Yeah. So
it was not for you.
It was not for me. But the dental cyst, and I've realised by saying that I don't want to, you know, worry people because I am a bit unlucky. you know, that would not happen to most people. But for me, it did. And I had to go in hospital for surgery. But the disappointment was it didn't do what the consultant. So for me, the mandibular. For you, it's great. And that's why our treatment is individual.
And I think that that's one of the things that it's tricky for people to get their head around, because there are so many moving parts to this. Like, so a mandibular advancement device is not going to work for a person where their tongue and their soft tissues kind of blocking their airway.
Absolutely.
It's not part of it, right? Yeah. Like people who have extremely compromised airways where their airway's collapsing in on itself. Like, there's nothing a mandibular advancement device is going to do for that.
I think this is
why for patients it can be really frustrating, because they're paying for, you know, like different treatment options and having to just trial and error it.
Absolutely. And this is why it was important, your story and my story, us two, you know, the same thing, it didn't happen for me, what happened for you. You know, the consultant was disappointed. But it wasn't the right thing for me, but it is for somebody else, not to me.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, find us. Like I said to you, we've got the charity premises in Hull, East Yorkshire in England. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't tell you, Emma, is we have often had people, I mean, obviously,
not, I bet they come from all over.
USA. USA. Canada.
Oh my God.
Abu Dhabi. You know, Greece. Now, obviously, you know, I'm saying that Australia, some of them are on holiday here. So, but because they're already connected with us, there's no way they're coming to England without having it dropping in.
Next time
Sometimes
I'm in England, I'm gonna rock up.
you must come. You must come. We'll have some quality time together, Emma. We have people traveling from all over the UK. Another service we do, no obligation, mass fittings on our bed, the laid down with the CPAP
Oh,
on,
perfect.
with the pressures. And sometimes it'll take us 2 hours to find the right mask. You know, they don't have to buy the mask.
And they
Sometimes
don't
the
have to
right.
go through that all for themselves at home
That's
without the support.
absolutely. Yeah.
Love
So
that.
we know that not everyone can travel to us, so they can find us online. So the charity is, you'll probably put the link up, Emma.
I
It's
will. I'll put it in the show notes.
Hope to sleep with a number two, hope to sleep.co.uk. They can find resources to help them. We're still working very hard on a new website, which is going to be a lot better. And then we have a lot of people, as you know, Emma, in our support group, which is
Yes.
the Facebook support group linked with the charity. Be careful because there are a lot of people who set up these groups just because they happen to have a condition. Be very careful, you know, for any health condition. Who's running the group, you know, because obviously the advice is very important. It's the correct advice and not medical advice, you know. So we have a lot of the sleep nurses and doctors. You are fabulous on Instagram. I'm not very good on Instagram, Emma. I miss a lot, naturally.
Which I really feel like I would love to see more of you on Instagram.
We need to build that up. Yeah, we need to, but that Facebook is my play.
You don't have enough hours in the day, so I also
That's
think you
the,
need a rest.
you know, you do fabulous work. I've seen the work you do, Emma.
Well,
We
thanks,
do,
Kat.
we do a lot of fabulous work on Facebook as well. We're trying to build up more on our YouTube
But
page.
I think it's good. Yeah, I saw your YouTube, so that's cool that you're doing
Yeah,
that.
which is what we do, and the group that you're going to share a link to, Emma, is a private closed group. So questions need to be answered to join our group, and we're, you know, the admins work really, really hard to make sure that we don't get those advertisers in and all those other people. They're not welcome. We welcome patients, people who support patients. Vic V is in our group. He doesn't have a lot of time because he's very busy as a consultant
He also
himself.
needs a rest.
And he's another one, but he's there that we can tag if we need him, you know.
That's great. I just want to say thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all. It's been real nice chatting. Thanks, Emma.
Thanks so much for listening. I love hearing from you. If you'd like to be featured in an upcoming episode of the podcast, please email me at sleepapneastories@gmail.com. That's also the place to get in touch if you just want to say hi or ask a question. Alternatively, I'm over on Instagram. My handle there is sleepapneastories. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe or follow, rate and review wherever you listen. This really helps a wider audience find the episodes, and I really appreciate it.